a day, and welcome to another episode of Live Till 5. I'm your host, Jared Baldwin, broadcasting high atop the campus of Harvest Ministries from the worldwide headquarters of Harvest Family Radio, KHMG 88.1 FM, right here in Barragata, Guam, right here on the campus of Harvest Ministries. Glad to have you with us today. We're going to have a great show today, have some special guests coming up in a little bit. This show, Live Till 5, this is our 312th episode. 5 years ago today, we closed the show as it being our last episode, at least as far as we knew. And by miracle and by God's direction, we are back now, 5 years later, with this little show, Live Till 5. It's a live local talk and variety program that we broadcast every Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. live here at the KHMG studios. We talk to some very interesting guests. We have different segments that come up every week, including but not limited to What's in My Coffee, Stranger Than Fiction, This Day in History, a little foster care focus, an interesting interview, some leadership discussion, and a bunch of other stuff in between. So really excited to dig into this show today. First, let me make an announcement. We do have an upcoming counseling training conference. I just want to make sure I get this in early on. So if you're listening to the live broadcast or a broadcast that's happening in rebroadcast before the 19th or 20th of April, let me make a quick announcement. If you're listening to a rebroadcast or the podcast later after April 19th or 20th, 2024, then this doesn't apply, but bear with me. The Guam Marriage and Family Biblical Counseling Training Conference is April 19th and 20th, 2024. It's $40 per person at the door here at Harvest. And you can register at conference registration at hbcguam.net. And this specifically is being led by Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries in Lafayette, Indiana. And we're hosting it here at Harvest. And there's a lot of information. You can email that conference registration at hbcguam.net for more information. We have information about offsite childcare that's being provided, about the schedule, about the topics, things like that. This conference is free for pastors and their spouses and for chaplains and their spouses. And so you can reach out to me personally if you have any questions as well. But I definitely wanted to announce that. And you can pick up flyers for this at Faith Bookstore. And speaking of Faith Bookstore, let me just say a little something about that. Because Faith Bookstore, I believe, is the only Christian bookstore on Guam at this time. And it is the place to go for Christian resources. And of course, there are some things you can order online, and we all do that. But sometimes you need to be able to get something soon. And the reliability of ordering something and it coming in on time is not always as dependable as we would like. Plus, sometimes you want to be able to pick it up and look at it and flip through it or try it out, depending on what you're looking for. And Faith Bookstore is a great place for this. And they're not a sponsor of the show. This is a non-commercial plug. This is just me saying I really love Faith Bookstore and the folks that work over there. Ian has been running Faith Bookstore, and I asked her just to write up something for me so I could explain the scope of what Faith Bookstore is, because they're carrying these flyers for this upcoming conference, and they've always been a good friend of the ministry here and me personally. So it is a different kind of bookstore. It's a bookstore and a gift shop. They are a nonprofit, so they're a not-for-profit Christian book and gift store. They've been open since 1959. Now, it's changed locations and management and things like that, but it has been around for a very long time. And their goal is to provide you with inspirational resources that help you build stronger relationships. They have great selection of books, apparel, home decor, greeting cards, supplies for school and church, and of course, Bibles and Bible reference, commentaries, and dictionaries. And they have different language Bibles there, so this is a great place if you're looking for a language that's spoken in our region. You can go there to see if they have a Bible in that language. They have all kinds of other locally relevant gifts. Some of them, most of them Christian themed, but some of them are just kind of locally themed with maps and artistic gifts that you can get there. And they're open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. They're right there on Marine Corps Drive, 960 South Marine Corps Drive. And if you've been on Guam very long, it's the location of the old Blockbuster video. Kind of catty corner, almost straight across the street from Alupang Beach Tower. So right there on Marine Corps Drive. You can't miss it. And I'd encourage you to stop by there. And they do have some stuff coming up for graduations, of course. And everyone's always looking for some way to kind of honor a graduate. Well, they have sashes that can be personalized and things like that, and a lot of other islandy ways of celebrating graduation. So if I were you, I'd swing by Faith Bookstore, tell them, you know, encourage them. It's supporting a local nonprofit ministry, and it's a one of a kind here on Guam. And so really want to support them. So very encouraged to have them here on Guam. Now, we're going to take a short break here, but when we do come back, we will be talking to some folks about foster care. We will also be having, you know, probably a few laughs with a few people that are planning to be up here with us to talk. And we're going to be playing a little game that we call What's in My Coffee. And the Hub, Hebrews Cafe, is going to be bringing up some delectable treats for us here in just a little bit. So stay tuned. This is Live Till 5 here on KHMG 88.1 FM, Harvest Family Radio, Barragata, Guam. Be right back after this. Welcome back to Live Till 5 right here at Harvest Family Radio, KHMG. If you're listening to the live broadcast, we do this every Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. right here from the KHMG studios, high atop the campus of Harvest Ministries. And speaking of high atop the campus, I just wanted to mention, I've been gone for like 5 years. 5 years ago today, we thought we broadcast the last episode of Live Till 5. And now we're back, and it's really a lot of fun. And as I look out the window, the plumeria tree has grown about, I don't know, 5 feet, maybe more, since I moved away and came back. And so we literally have these huge blossoms of plumeria flowers right outside the window of the KHMG studio. It's really beautiful. Yeah, so that's cool. All right, now I have in studio a few guests to play What's in My Coffee. We have Jared Ball, and that's not a joke. That's not just making fun of my own name. That's actually this young man's name. He was an intern actually here at the radio station one time. Weren't you, Jared?
Absolutely was.
Yes. And you'll notice, so you might recognize those golden pipes. Then we have not quite golden pipes, Joanna. she was up here last week talking about Harvest House. And actually, Joanna and Eva both talked about Harvest House with me a few weeks ago when we did our Harvest Time interview. So welcome, ladies. Glad you could be in the studio today.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
All right. Good to be here. Okay. And we're going to play a little What's in My Coffee. Now, for the listening audience at home, what we do is every week, our coffee shop that's right here on our campus, the Hub, which is an abbreviation for Hebrews Uniform and Bookstore. And Hebrews is a joke on, you know, the basically the Bible book Hebrews, and then it's on an old dad joke, like, does the Lord drink coffee? Yes, check out the book of Hebrews, get it? So that's where the name came from. We've shortened it to the Hub, and you might be today years old when you just realized what the H in Hub stood for. But we're gonna play What's in My Coffee. They bring us a few drinks every week. They number them. Everyone in the studio picks one based on what looks delightful to them. And then they take a drink, and then they're supposed to describe to you, the listening audience, what they're drinking, what it tastes like, smells like, looks like, hot, cold, whatever, and maybe even make a guess on what it's called or what the drink is, with the intention of making it sound good so that people will come to our wonderful bookstore or coffee shop and buy drinks. And so we have to be really careful how we describe these because, you know, we have to use creative terms and things like that. So as we are doing this, I'm going to let you guys get one more drink. One real quick thing that I want to mention about the Hub. We want to thank them for doing this for us every week. Their hours Monday through Friday are 7:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. And this is from Nikki, the manager. Nikki said, join us this Thursday, April 18th. So if you're listening to the live broadcast, this will apply to you. For our mochi party, we'll be selling 10 different flavors of mochi as well as ice cream mochi. Supplies are limited, so come early. And I got to say that the student body of Harvest Christian Academy are like piranhas in the Amazon River with blood in the water. If there's a good treat, they will munch it all up pretty fast. Also, she wanted to mention, tying into a previous announcement, that the Hub will be open the hour before the counseling conference next Friday, April 19th. So we'll mention that again next week as well in the live broadcast. So let's play What's in My Coffee. Jared Ball, what are you drinking? Give us a good description.
Okay. So I like to consider myself a professional when it comes to
professional
the Hub.
What?
Well, just a professional. Actually, let me think. A professional sitter,
okay,
experiencer, taker in of atmospheres when it comes to the Hub, because oftentimes I'll take my work, I'll go set up in the Hub, and I just like to experience the atmosphere. It's one of my favorite things about it.
You get paid to do that?
You'll have to take it up with my boss. I think I know what all of these drinks are.
Okay.
Just looking at them because
from
I see them.
From being a professional sitter, you say?
Well, I'm just looking up there across the counter, and there are these drinks churning out that just look. It's like Willy Wonka's drink factory up there. They're just pumping out these delicious drinks. I chose number 3.
That means nothing to the listening audience.
Well, it's got number 3 on the cup. So
that's true.
That's the first thing I noticed about it. The other things. So if I'm to hold this in my hand and to look at it, it has some strange but artistic, maybe modern art type stalagmites of drinky goodness inside that I think is caramel drizzle.
Okay.
You know, just coating the outside of this wonderful cup. I believe it's a caramel drizzle.
There's camouflage splotches on the side?
Yes.
Okay. It's caramel stalactites and caramel splotches, I guess. Though. Okay, keep going. Yes.
I think that's probably caramel, and I believe that if I'm looking at it from my eye, I see a darker brown color at the top, and it starts to brighten as it goes lower, which makes me think that there is some sort of half and half or milk in here,
okay,
giving it a lighter substance.
Mm-hmm.
And when it all mixes together, it's got this wonderful coffee, but not too strong, sweet flavor, iced. That makes me think. Do we guess already?
Well,
I've got
maybe I should. I forgot to say at the beginning. This is a short segment. Oh. But keep going.
Oh, I thought. Okay, this is got to be.
Thank you for rejoining us live till 8.
Wait a minute. The Plumeria
live till 9. Okay, keep going.
Do I guess now?
Yeah, you can guess anytime you like.
This is an iced caramel latte with milk and or half and half.
Okay. All right. Great. And are you a caramel? No, you're not caramel. Okay. We will.
Oh, sorry.
Have I got him up way too loud? Okay. Yeah. All right. Great.
Chris is nodding yes.
Chris's head is exploding. Okay.
Sorry, guys. I didn't want to be annoying.
Okay.
Right off the
Joanna. Sorry. We don't have time to talk to you now or talk about foster children or anything else. No,
wow.
I'm just kidding. Joanna, what about your drink? Tell us a little bit about it.
Mine's a frozen drink. It's beige with some black specks. So I think it is like a frappuccino, a coffee frap, basically, with vanilla bean.
Such a brief description.
Oh, that's good. Simple, short.
We've got other things to get to.
Yes, that's right. Okay, Ava, what do you have there?
I have a cold drink on ice. It's kind of like red, so I'm thinking it's like a fruity something, and it actually tastes like a chamorro punch.
Okay.
But more tropical. I'm not really like a drinker of anything other than water and like energy drinks. So okay. Like okay. For me to try to describe.
So this is much sweeter than energy drink that you're used to. Okay. All right. Is it carbonated?
A little bit.
Okay.
So I think there's like a little spritzer in
there. A spritzer. Okay. That's a good description. Our listening audience are like, ooh, I want to try that. I have something that's tea-based with some citrus syrup in it. Tastes like calamansi. I think this is calamansi iced tea. Let's do the big reveal here. After Jared Ball. You were trying to prove that you guessed it.
I was proving that I guessed years ahead of time. Right. I didn't even need to try it.
All right. I affirm you. You did it. Okay. You have drink number one, Joanna. You have a white mocha blended. Okay. Oh. Pretty simple. Two, Ava has the cherry lime fruit splash. Four, Jared has the calamansi iced tea. And three, what'd you say you had, Jared?
Bring me home. This is an iced caramel latte.
No.
With milk or, hold on, or it could be something else.
That is true. You're close. It's a caramel latte. Or, I'm sorry. It's a caramel macchiato. You said latte. Macchiato. Caramel macchiato.
It's Spanish for macchiato.
Or caramel macchiato. Or caramel macchiato.
Latte,
however you want to say
original
it.
Greek.
We're going to do a whole episode just about how to say caramel, but it's a caramel macchiato.
Okay.
Very good. That's Got great. It. And for our listening audience, all these drinks are available and more if you go to the Hub between 7:30 a.m., 3:30 p.m., Monday through Friday. Did you know that the proceeds from the sale of all the drinks in the Hub, 10% goes to, or not 10%, all the proceeds above and beyond the expenses go to missions projects all around the world. We've given over $150,000 to missions projects just from the sale of drinks at the Hub over the years. So that's really cool. So we're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we're going to have a foster care focus. Stay tuned. This is Live Till 5. I'm Jared Baldwin, your host. Be right back. And we're back with a little more Live Till 5. Again, still in studio. Got Jared, Joanna, and Ava here with us. And we're talking about foster care for just a few minutes here. And specifically, I think we want to talk a little bit about volunteerism. I'd also like to get an update on how did the photo event go, which was last weekend for those of us that are involved with the live broadcast. And if you're listening to the rebroadcast, it was earlier in April. So can you give me a little update? How did the photo event go?
Yeah, it was super fun. We had about 36 families come, 182 people from the foster community come out to the event. We were at the governor's complex, and we had about 11 photographers come and take photos of all the families. We had Easter egg hunts and a fiesta donated by a bunch of foster-friendly businesses, and kites, bubbles, soccer. It was a great event, and it just went so well. The weather was beautiful. It was just a sweet time with all our families.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And yeah, I know my daughter and son-in-law got to go, and they came back kind of dusty and sunburned because it was the weather was perfect, especially for golden hour to be able to take pictures and things like that. But I heard it was, you know, you're playing with and interacting with a lot of children, and those families enjoy letting you play with the kids, like giving them the opportunity to take a little bit of a breather. So heard it went great.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It all came together. We get nervous before every event, but it's fun when the event actually comes and we get to just enjoy it.
Yeah. And how many people volunteered, would you say, for that?
So we had about 45 volunteers, and some of those volunteers are foster families, and then also a lot of our church members, which is really great because they get to wrap around the kids and share the love of Jesus Christ with them, too.
Yeah. So what types of things did they do volunteering?
So leading up to the event, we had some volunteers come in, and they helped us sort through 8,000 eggs that were donated from George W. High School, George Washington High School. Yeah, so half of the eggs were, like, filled. The other half weren't filled. I mean, but they still gave all the candy.
Plastic eggs.
Plastic. Oh, yes, plastic eggs.
Yeah.
So they helped sort through that. We gave half of the eggs away to, like, our foster families so they can celebrate and do, like, Easter egg hunts. And then we also put together family baskets. So we had about 40 families RSVP. Unfortunately, some weren't able to make it, but they helped put family baskets together. We had about 20 donated, and then we also had PDC Wholesale. Like, they donated more cleaning supplies, so our volunteers helped put those baskets together. We also had them like prepping for our event, like getting our stuff, because our event was off-site. Like, we had it at the governor's complex, so we had to gather all our things to make sure that we had everything that we needed for our event, like our bubble station, which was, I think, the most fun station, our kites and our
That's
eggs.
A lot of mobilization.
Oh, yeah.
To then, take all of that down there.
And then you think about, like, all the toys, too, that were donated at for the event. Like, all of our donors, they just want to, like, shower our foster kids with, like, things and, like, gifts, which was really great.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. So we had foster families, we had volunteers. We also, did we have a few people, like, from some of our local leadership also show up for the event?
Oh, yes. We had several dignitaries. The lieutenant governor was there.
Great.
We had
Senator Jesse Lujan came.
Great.
Speaker Terlahi donated some food for the event as well.
Oh, great.
And, yeah, and some goodie bags for the kids.
Yeah, we had CPS workers come as well to
That's great.
Enjoy the event.
Yeah. So it really was the entire foster care network, the whole ecosystem was really participating in this. And you said how many, 36 families participated?
Yeah, 36 licensed foster families.
Okay.
So this event specifically was to bless licensed foster families. They're
sure.
the ones that have stepped up. They're not related to these kids. So specifically for Spring Photo, it's licensed foster families. Our other events are for the whole foster community.
Got it.
But this
Got
one
it.
We got to do
Neat.
Just for them.
Neat. Oh, man, that is great. So, well, let's talk just a little bit about volunteering and Ava, you are responsible for organizing a lot of the volunteers that come in, right?
Yes.
Okay. So what does that look like? Someone is interested in getting involved in helping.
Mm-hmm.
How do they do it? And what are the types of things you would have them do, especially like an entry-level volunteer?
Oh, yeah. So most of the time our volunteers call and they ask, or they come in and they ask, like, how can they help? So we either have them sign up online at our website, and it just basically lets us know their availability and where they want to help. And then also for all the people or all the volunteers that have signed up before, we have their email listing. And whenever we have, like, events, we send out emails and let them know, too, like, hey, this is what's happening. Are you able to help with our event? Like, where even if they're not able to come physically, they can also, like, help out, like, monetarily and like donating
sure.
items that we would need for the event.
Yeah. So how many volunteers in a week, you have different people coming in during the week helping with certain things. How many volunteers do you think come in any given week to Harvest House Resource Center?
Well, we do have our faithful volunteers who come, like, weekly, and there's about five of them.
Okay.
And then we have, like, just stragglers that come in and say, hey, how can we help today? And that's about five a week, too.
Okay. Like, and what are they doing?
They bring in donations. They help sort the donations. They
They're the ones that you see back there, like, folding the clothes and stuff like that. Okay.
Folding the clothes, doing our laundry, cleaning up, helping us just prepare for anything, like, whether we have an emergency or, like, if we have if we need to get some supplies for kids that need it or families that are a part of CPS, like, the CPS will call us and let us know, like, hey, can you prepare this for some families? And of course we'll prepare those bags, and sometimes our families are huge, you know, so, like, we can prepare, like, seven bags for seven kids, and
sure.
And it's, like, clothing, shoes, hygiene products.
Yeah.
So they help us with that.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a fun thing for the volunteers to actually see how their work actually impacts foster children directly, because that's why they're getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that you have people that really, their volunteering is really a very simple, it doesn't take any training. It really is just, if you got a little bit of time mm-hmm. and you're willing to help, you can come do a few simple things that make a huge difference.
Oh, yes. And that is very impactful because it really is just me, Joanna, and Bethany that are like the hands and feet that mm-hmm. are like physically there throughout the week, right? But when people come in and offer a hand, like sometimes we have babies, we're babysitting, so we just need like an extra hand to help us like
sure.
hold the baby or mm-hmm. like just clean up or go through the donations that came through our doors. Because some days it can be like a lot of donations mm-hmm. and then other days it'll just be like quiet days. But
right. Yeah, and you can't let that stuff pile up.
No.
The Resource Center, for those who've never been there, is not very big. It's a mm-mm. it's a modular building. I think it's 40 by 20, and there's not a ton. You have it pretty full, and you have some overflow container storage out back also, right?
Oh, yes. We have two overflow containers, one for our like event and toys, and then one for our baby items, like strictly like pack-and-plays, car seats, strollers, anything babies will need mm-hmm. because they need a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Age. For sure. Now, sometimes people want to volunteer and maybe they have more of a skill in the trades. So maybe they are good with building stuff or fixing stuff or painting stuff. How could people with those skills get involved in volunteering? Like what types of projects have they worked on in the past?
Oh, yes. So we had like a naval, a military group. I think they volunteered their time to assemble our playground, mm-hmm. Which is really nice. And it's I've played on that playground too. But but I mean, like they helped build our playground, especially because like we really don't have the manpower to do it, I mean, just us three, but it really helps. Like, and then we have some other volunteers who built like tables to put out at the playground. Some built a deck for our containers out back because the ground is unlevel back there, and mm-hmm. it's just safer for us to be bringing stuff in and out. And we bring stuff in and out of there like every day. Mm-hmm. There's volunteers who
they've helped us repaint our resource center mm-hmm. too, and that mm-hmm. was very helpful. And you know, just power washing the front of our building that gets slippery when it gets really
sure.
rainy
sure.
During that season. Mm-hmm. So
I think most of your furniture in there that's not store bought was built by volunteers yeah. back in the day.
Oh yes,
I remember. He was a Navy guy came in and built pallet wood furniture. It was kind of a very popular style of furniture about 10 years ago, and he built your rolling tables and some of the side things. And so those types of projects. So you have different levels of projects. I think where I'm headed is you could have any type of skill, and there's probably something you could find to volunteer with mm-hmm. just because there's so many things that are going on just constantly, 7 days a week, really, with foster care. So there's a lot of volunteer opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. So if someone wanted to get involved or learn more, how do they get a hold of you guys?
They can call us at 300-5433.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Or they can also check us out on our website, which is
HarvestHouseGuam.org.
HarvestHouseGuam.org. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you guys have social media as well?
Yes. Facebook, Instagram. You can DM us or you can send us an email. It's going to be harvest.house@hbcguam.net.
Okay.
And yeah, just reach out to us. We'll get you connected in whatever capacity you can. We also like bouncing off each other and figuring out ideas, how different skill sets, different organizations can help us. And like you said, everyone can help in some capacity in whatever mm-hmm. they're gifted at. So.
That's great. Yeah. That's great. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time again this week. And I know I did have to bribe you getting you to have your drinks from the Hub. But thanks a lot. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I'm going to be sitting at a table at Starts Golf Course tomorrow mm-hmm. with you, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. And we're going to be repping for Harvest House. We're the recipients of the funds that are raised in this golf tournament.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to be up there and raising awareness with the golfers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll see you out there tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
All right. And we're going to take a short break. Listeners, we will be back with a little more Live Till 5 after this. Thank you. And we're back with a little more Live Till 5. I'm your host, Jared Baldwin. Broadcasting live every Friday afternoon from 3 to 5 p.m. Rebroadcasting the show over the weekends and in the future. And as a podcast as well. Glad to have you with us today. A little thank you to all our guests that have been up here so far. Jared Ball, just adding color to the show. And then, of course, participating in What's in My Coffee, along with Joanna and Eva from Harvest House. We're going to focus on foster care every single week with different guests and information just to make sure we keep foster care in front of us all the time. It's a very important need and something that we found the Lord has really given us opportunity to keep that as one of our ministry lanes here at Harvest. And so we're excited to be part of that, always trying to make sure people are aware of what's going on. So we have a few minutes left in this hour, and I'd like to take a little time to talk about what happened this day in history. Not only this day, but this year, since we're just starting the show back up. This is our second show of this new season of Live Till 5. I wanted to make sure that we went back and looked at some of the important things that have already happened this year. Not just this year in history, but this actual year so far. And some of these, I guess it just escaped me in the news. Did you know that there was an ancient lost city discovered in eastern Ecuador back on January 11th? It's estimated that the city, which lies in Ecuador's Upano area, was built around 2,500 years ago, and the extent of the city suggests that the presence of a society that was as large or larger than the Aztecs or Mayans. That is crazy. Also on January 18th, NASA's Ingenuity helicopter took off for its 72nd and final flight on Mars. January 27th, this one I did hear about. The Icon of the Seas, the largest cruise ship in the world, embarked on its maiden voyage from Miami. If you've ever seen a picture of this thing, massive isn't even the right word because cruise ships are already massive. This is like multiple cruise ships stacked on top of each other. As a matter of fact, 20 decks and the ability to hold 7,600 passengers. That's like aircraft carrier and a half. The new supersized cruise ship was quickly christened the Human Lasagna by social media. And it is 365 meters long, or that's almost 1,200 feet. And it is longer than the Eiffel Tower is tall. Here's another kind of out of this world one. February 22nd of this year, the Odysseus became the first private spacecraft to land on the moon. Now, I have not seen footage of this, but apparently it did make it to the moon. It tipped over, though, when it landed. And here's a very interesting thing. So for some of you, this is like a Venn diagram of interest. So some of you are math people. So you have interest that math. Some of you are science people. Some of you are numbers people. And some of you are just fans of Live Till 5. If all of those circles intersect, you might find this next thing interesting. So 2024 in numbers, and I got this from thefactsite.com. Did you know this is a leap year? Okay, so leap year, the extra day corrects the gradual misalignment between our calendar and the Earth's journey around the sun. So leap year. I have an uncle that was born on a leap year. And so his birthday on a leap day, actually, February 29th. So technically, he's only had like, 25 birthdays. Let's see, not 25, he'd be 100 years old. Anyway, didn't do the math on that. This is also, though, by the numbers, the year 2024, this is a Harshad number. Now, I've been on this planet for half a century, and I've never heard of a Harshad number. What is that? Well, it's the number that can be evenly divided by the sum of its digits. It's like a special math rule for some numbers. To explain, you add the digit 2 plus 0 plus 2 plus 4, which equals 8. Now, see if you can divide 2024 evenly by 8, and it can be. It comes out to 253. So that makes 2024 a Harshad number. It's also very interestingly, if you have all those Venn diagram circles intersecting, an abundant number. An abundant number is a number where if you add up all the smaller numbers that can be evenly divided into it, the total sum is greater than the sum itself. Now, for those of you that aren't math people, you're probably already lost on that. But basically, if you add up all the smaller numbers that can be evenly divided in 2024 And that's 1-248-1122-2344-4688-92-184-253-506-1012. They add up to 2296, which is greater than 2024, which makes this 2024 an abundant number. How about this? This day in history, April 12th. A lot of things happen on April 12th. The first space shuttle mission was launched. The Columbia Space Shuttle launched under mission STS-1, carried a crew of two astronauts. There were several delays and setbacks. Coincidentally, take place on the 20th anniversary of the first crewed space flight. And I remember them wheeling in a color TV set into our classroom, a big one, probably weighed 100 pounds, precariously on top of this rolling cart, the audio-visual cart. They run an orange extension cord over into an outlet. They get the antenna adjusted just right, and the teacher kind of fine-tunes the picture, and then we watched the launch of the first space shuttle, Columbia. 1961, the world's first person visited space. So 20 years before that, Yuri Gagarin was a Soviet cosmonaut, and on this day became the first person to ever go into space aboard the Vostok 1 spacecraft. 1955, Jonas Salk polio vaccine tested by Jonas Salk was given final approval by the U.S. FDA. Let's see here. 1861, the Battle of Fort Sumter in South Carolina between the United States and Confederate States started the American Civil War. I believe this week in history also was the end of the American Civil War. 1633, Cardinal Bellarmine condemned Galileo for stating that the earth revolved around the sun. Galileo was later convicted of heresy for his belief that the sun was the center of the universe. And then in 1204, crusaders from the Fourth Crusade broke through Constantinople's walls and entered the great city. Famous birthdays today, April 12th, is David Letterman's birthday, 76 years old. Tom Clancy would have been, let's see here, he died at 66 years old. He was born in 1947. You'll have to do the math on that, but famous author there. And then a famous death, Franklin D. Roosevelt died during World War II on this day. And then here's two special days. Today is National Walk on Your Wild Side Day, which I'm not planning to celebrate personally, but this one I might celebrate. It is National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day. And I know that sounds very insignificant to some of you, but to me, that sounds great. You know, just to get off on a side thing here for the last minute of this episode or this hour of this episode, I have a toaster oven for the first time in my adult life, and I love it. And I intend to celebrate National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day sometime this weekend. It might be a kind of a delayed celebration, but I intend to celebrate that because we have a toaster oven, and I love using that thing. Let's see here if I have any other this day in history. So I have about a minute left here. Let's see here. Any other birthdays? Oh, Hans Christian Andersen. April, he was born earlier this month, April 2nd. This is kind of going back through the month, ones that I might have missed. We have the Apollo 13 launch on April 11th, 1970. That's the fated one that they made a movie about where they got into space. And that's where the phrase, Houston, we have a problem, that came from that flight. On this day, let's see here. Yeah, Fort Sumter was attacked. Also, this week, yes, the Civil War did end with the surrender at Appomattox. So that's this day, this week in history, and actually this year. Now, as we wind down this hour, we have a minute or two left. Just want to remind you that this is a live broadcast if you're listening on Friday afternoon, but we will rebroadcast the show on the weekend. Now, our intention is to get this rebroadcast out and also release it as a podcast. And so as we're re-entering this atmosphere of Live Till 5, we're also working through all the little intricacies of getting back into the swing of things. And so you be patient with us as, you know, I haven't been pushing these buttons for a while, so I'm kind of relearning everything. But so far, so good. I told Chris last week, it's like falling off a bike. So kind of like falling off a log and kind of like riding a bike, but it's just like falling off a bike. So easy to remember. Now, as we do wrap up this hour, just want to say just a couple quick things here. I invite you to visit Harvest Baptist Church. Every Sunday morning, we have two services, 8:45 and 10:45. And I would love to see at Harvest Baptist Church. And if you hear my voice on the radio and you're like, boy, I'd like to meet that guy, make sure you come up and introduce yourself. I'm usually out back in the Welcome Center area and meeting guests. And so I'd love to hear from you. If you've heard me on the radio, if you come to Harvest Baptist Church, maybe for the first time or we've never met, please come up and introduce yourself. I'd love to meet you there. Now, we're going to wrap up this hour. We have a whole nother hour of Live Till 5 coming up. So I really do want you to stick around. And we will be talking to two of our leaders in our ministry about volunteering and ministry. We'll have a little talk about leadership as well. Have some other neat things coming up in the second hour, including Stranger Than Fiction as well. So this is Live Till 5, and we are on KHMG, Barragata, Guam, 88.1 FM, Harvest Family Radio. Stick around. More Live Till 5 in the second hour coming up. With a little more Live Till 5, our second hour of the broadcast. Broadcasting high atop the campus of Harvest Ministries from the worldwide headquarters of Harvest Family Radio. This is Live Till 5, our live local talking variety program every Friday afternoon right here at KHMG 88.1 FM, Harvest Family Radio, celebrating over 28 years on the air here on Guam. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, bringing you Christian programming, good preaching, teaching, music, news, information, and Live Till 5. I don't know how that fits into the mix of all those things, but we are intending, hopefully, to inform you a little bit, edify you a little bit, inspire you, hopefully, and entertain you. We want you to laugh. It's okay. It's a great way to end the week to have kind of a little low-key, let our hair down, fun time. Now, as we go into this next hour of Live Till 5, I want to make one announcement one more time because we only have a few more times to do this. This is the live broadcast. Today is April 12th, Friday, April 12th, if you're listening live. You might be listening to a rebroadcast, so I'm saying the date just so that if this is obsolete to you, you can ignore for a moment. But we do have the Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries is teaching the Biblical Counseling Training Conference at Harvest Baptist Church, April 19th and 20th. Now, Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries is out of Lafayette, Indiana, and this is what they do. You can even check out their website. I encourage you to go to just look for Faith Biblical Counseling Ministries, and you'll find them. This is the Guam Marriage and Family Biblical Counseling Training Conference. So this is specifically training counselors. So if you want to get some training in counseling, this conference could be for you. If you're a pastor, pastor's wife, chaplain, chaplain's wife, and you would like to come to this conference, you can come at no charge. The whole thing, the meal, the booklet, all of it, you can just come and attend. We want to invest in the people who are providing biblical marriage counseling, biblical family counseling. And so we want to invest in you so you can come. If you're not a pastor or their spouse or chaplain or spouse, there is a cost, $40 per person at the door. It's totally worth it. And that price includes not only the conference, and it doesn't even really offset the cost of the conference. It just basically covers the food and the day itself. So there's food and snacks and coffee and the booklet printed up. And we're trying to do this as low of a cost as possible. There's also now a childcare option. Originally, we didn't think we were going to be able to provide childcare, and we're not directly providing it, but we have a friend of the ministry who has a childcare facility who is going to provide childcare, and you can email us at conferenceregistration@hbcguam.net, conferenceregistration@hbcguam.net, to either sign up, ask questions, get more information about the childcare option, and we can get you all that. But it is going to be a great thing. It's a full load. So it starts Friday night, April 19th, and it's about 5 hours, 4 or 5 hours of training Friday night, and then all day Saturday. And you can get more information again by emailing us, and we can send you all the info. But we want to make sure that everyone knows this is out there and that this is a resource for our folks here on Guam. Now, I am joined in studio. I wanted to make every week we want to have an interesting interview. And most weeks I'm going to do an interview related to leadership. So for today, I'd like to interview Pastor Jake Schnorr and Luke Mullins. Now, they both work here at Harvest Ministries. And maybe what we can do is introduce you guys. So Jake, why don't you tell our listening audience what you do?
Well, half a day, Pastor Jared, thanks for having both of us. I'm a pastor here at Harvest. I'm over the young adults. So college age, 20s and 30s, singles in the church is who I'm over, and do a couple other ministries as well, but that's the main demographic that mm-hmm. I'm over. Do a lot of activities. We do a Thursday night Bible study, always doing something on the weekend, whether it be a movie night, beach day, beach cleanup, or a hike. And yeah, I've been here since 2019, so basically as soon as I knew you were gone, then I decided to come.
Perfect, so. Perfect. And the name of the young adults here, Young Pros,
yes.
Which I think is a great name. So kind of young professionals. And, you know, there's no exact age on that, right? It's really how you feel.
Right. It's more of how do you identify yourself mentally, maybe socially? Yeah.
So you have to feel young and you have to feel professional to be part of it.
Right.
Okay, excellent. All right. And then, of course, we have Luke. Luke Mullins, what do you do here, Luke?
Well, I work with the events. Events coordinator is my job. Also helping out the pastors with just some different details throughout the week. So things that deal with calendar, room reservations, events coming up, I'll be helping with different details, working through that with over the ministry, HBBC, HCA, and HBC, and Harvest House, some of those things.
Yeah, and you teach a little too. Both of you teach. Yeah, so Luke, you teach in the college. Jake, you teach in the high school.
Yeah, teach in high school. Luke fills in a lot with a number of pastoral responsibilities. It kind of comes with a title, almost as a pastoral assistant. Teaches Bible studies, leads a prayer group. He's very humble, so he left out probably 80% of his job description there. But
he pinched it for you recently, right?
Last night, I can't save my bacon. I coached basketball, middle school. We won. Sorry about that for our opponent. But yeah, B team, middle school, we are undefeated.
The B team is undefeated?
The B team.
Have they played the A team yet?
Our A team has played every game as well, but we don't need to talk about
that. No, but has the B team played the A team?
Oh, they have, yeah.
Okay, all right. Did they win in that one too?
They were defeated in that one.
Okay, all right. So, at least they retain their status as the number one, number two team.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, hey, this is what I do. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, leadership. Earlier, I had the chance to talk to someone that her whole job is coordinating volunteers for our foster care ministry. And I wanted to hear from you guys a little bit. How do you do the volunteer piece of ministry? Because there's no way a ministry can exist with just paid staff doing everything. So what's your philosophy on that? What's your approach? Maybe some practical things you do to get people plugged in.
Yeah, I think, and in fact, we're reading a book as the pastoral team now, and it's touching on a lot of different points. Even the word volunteer is in some ways maybe not necessarily the most helpful, but one thing that we do try to focus on is trying to approach people on an individual basis rather than just trying to get a wide shotgun shot to the whole audience. And So trying to go to individuals, and which kind of shows we value you as a person, and then trying to communicate the need, you know, just trying to say, man, we can't really do this without you. And Luke actually, he stepped up big time with our greeters ministry. I don't know if you could share anything since you've been the lead there. We are constantly in need of people just being the face of Harvest, but trying to get people to, number one, join, but let alone stay. I don't know if there's anything that's come up since you've joined.
Yeah, like just what you're saying, one-on-one basis, building up that relationship with the people ahead of time so that you can have that personal connect to ask them. And then also knowing people and their gifting, I think, is really important. We have what we call bodybuilding at the beginning of the year, when we have, you know, some people coming on island with staff, also even with a lot of military will be coming on island, and different people with school starting. And at that time, when there's some people joining our church, we'll have all of our ministries will all meet together, and we will say, hey, what are you interested in? What's your gifting? And then we'll use that time to be able to, hopefully for our church, be able to get them plugged in the best place possible. Because when somebody's plugged in an area that they are passionate about or burdened for, then they're not going to get burned out. They're not going to get tired as easily because they're passionate about it. They want to be there on Sunday morning, especially even thinking about welcome team, right? Yeah. It's the right people that need to be there. Obviously, all of our church should be welcoming people in some sense. But then, you know, the people that are out in that specific area of ministry, it's somebody maybe that's a little bit more outgoing, maybe somebody that's able to connect with people, maybe not just outgoing, but somebody who's able to be personal and connect with people, and they enjoy conversations and being able to have that one-on-one touch with people.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Welcome Team specifically. So this is a great illustration of a volunteer ministry that is really critical to the way our ministry operates. Some people might be thinking, well, you know, the church is already friendly and everyone there, you know, they're all good people. You got godly people sitting next to each other. Of course, people are going to be friendly and warm and welcoming, but there is the next step of actually having a real connection, not just a casual bump into each other type connection. Why do we focus and put so much energy into the welcome team? And then what are we doing with the welcome team to actually make this type of connection happen?
Yeah, I think every believer is commanded in multiple different places in the New Testament to welcome one another. Probably the most famous passages end that with a holy kiss. And whether or not you feel like that should be a fist bump or a smooch on the left and right side, I'll let you decide. But the major point is we are commanded to greet one another affectionately, and just that you belong here. We value you. And so if any church, and there's been a lot of studies that say within the first 7 minutes, of when a person goes into a church for the first time, they have made up their mind about the second visit, if they are going to or not. And so then some of the questions arise, well, if we want to be able to set them up for a return, that initial 7 minutes is critical. And so it's almost, in some ways, it's almost the most important part with people who maybe aren't, they don't know what they're looking for. I think a more mature believer, they would make the decision more based off of more substantial things. But the casual, everyday goer who's maybe not church, they make up their mind quickly. So that first, I guess, to kind of raise the stakes, it's go time that first 5 to 7 minutes. And so having the right people there, because you can be bubbly, but there's been people who they feel like they are overwhelmed when they come.
Sure.
Because of just we overdo it. So yeah, I think the kind of the first piece in my mind is we want to make the best first impression, because first impressions go the longest way in a lot of times.
Yeah.
And then getting them connected with somebody who we think they might click with right away, right? And so I think the welcome team, yes, we are trying to have a conversation if we can, but sometimes there's so many people coming in all at once that there's not enough of us there at that time. And so being able to facilitate connecting them with somebody else in the church that we say, oh, yeah, I think that they might have something similar here. You know, if it's somebody in the military, they might be able to connect with this person well, or somebody from a specific island, they might be able to connect with this guy well. And so, you know.
Yeah. So let's, as we wrap up this interview, I think this is going to merit another conversation down the road. But let's talk briefly about collecting information, like so that you actually know who you've connected with and who you haven't. What's the value in that, and how are you guys doing it?
Yeah, when we see someone, and language is huge, and you can burn a bridge pretty quick if you don't recognize someone and they feel like you should recognize them. And so rather than saying, is this your first time, what we try to say is, have I met you before? And it's usually in an apologetic tone, at least for me, because the odds are I may have met them before, but we talk to so many people, and their harvest is unique in the amount of guests that we get. But beginning with, have I met you before, is pretty disarming. And then if not, and then they usually say, no, this is my first time, we have a packet. And on this packet gives basic information of the whole church, and there is a tear-off where it just has three lines: name, email, phone number. And we say, this is the best way for us to connect with you about any need that you have. Because in many ways, church is a hospital where you might go to a hospital and you don't even really know what you need, but you know you need to go. And so our job as leaders at Harvest is to help diagnose and to help have triage. All right, so where exactly is this person at? But that takes time, and you need to be able to kind of catch them and keep them. And so we have that initial pamphlet, and then from there, actually, it goes to Luke directly. And then Luke, maybe you can walk through the next couple of steps.
Yeah, usually I'll just send a text on Monday or Tuesday to our guests, you know, thanking them for being here on Sunday, letting them know that they're welcome. And then also, we really want to be able to make a personal connect, you know, with a pastor or one of our pastoral team members, if possible. So we, you know, we'll invite them, hey, would you be interested in a coffee with a pastor? We'd love to get to know you. And just letting them know, because obviously, you know, that time on Sunday mornings, there's not enough time to connect and say, hey, here's a pastor, you know, you can go off, grab a coffee for lunch or grab lunch together. So there's not enough time there. So making sure we follow up and say, hey, our pastors really want to just get to know you. They really want to reach out to you and help you in any way possible. Is there a time that you might be interested in a phone call to get that set up? And so just letting them know that we do have a next step for them, and that we want to reach out to them and we want to connect with them without being really pressuring.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Jake, Luke, I appreciate you guys coming up and talking about this. I think volunteerism in general, in ministry, and then specifically today, we talked about one area, the welcome team and intercepting guests and people that God brings in our doors. I think it's really important. I appreciate what you guys do.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
All right, thank you very much. That was Jake Schnorr and Luke Mullins talking about volunteerism and what we do to engage guests here at Harvest. And so it's really a neat process that we go through. If you've ever been here before, maybe as a first-time guest, you've been the recipient of some of that hospitality. And so great. Appreciate these guys coming up today. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more Live Till 5 after this. We're back with a little more Live Till 5. If you're listening to the live broadcast, it's Friday afternoon, April 12th. But you might be listening to the rebroadcast on the air here at 88.1 FM, or the podcast version that maybe you've downloaded or you've streamed. But we're glad to have you with us this afternoon. We've already had a lot of great guests, a lot of people here in the studio with us to talk about different areas. Seems like the theme ended up being volunteerism today. When we talked to Harvest House, talked about their many volunteers and how they get involved, and then talking with Pastor Jake and Luke about volunteerism in the church and how they address that and the need and kind of the practical ways of dealing with that. So it's great. Hey, I wanted to mention just something. This is kind of a behind the scenes part of live radio that I'm learning. And I thought, you know, for at least three other people out there, this might be interesting to you. But, you know, as I did the previous 310 episodes, we always used like different fun movie and TV show soundtrack songs and video game songs and just random songs that people send to us. And we can use that type of music for like bumper music, like what I have playing behind me right now. The issue is when it comes to saving the broadcast and turning it into a podcast. So whether that's technically, you know, out as a podcast or it's just archived on our website where you can go and download the episode later on, that counts as a podcast. We can't have any music that has those licenses or copyrights on it included in any way in those recordings. And this is something we've kind of grown to learn. And so as we're back now in this second iteration of Live Till 5, this new season on episode 312 today, I believe it is, we've come to decide that we're going to use royalty-free music for the backgrounds and the intros and outros. And so I've left this song playing this whole time for a reason, because music like this, there are creators out there, content creators that make these songs, and they do a great job, and it's at no charge and there's no copyright to it. And so we can use these songs as intros and outros, and we don't have to do a ton of extra editing to be able to save the episode either on our website, like in our library, or to put it out as a podcast. So we've decided to try to use royalty-free music. And so that's why, you know, you might have had a favorite little tune. I had some that were just like my iconic songs that I just love to do as intros and outros in those first 300 plus episodes. But as the times have changed and we want to be able to use these online to be able to share them, to make this content shareable, make it podcast form and podcast friendly, and not create a ton of extra work to have to try and edit that out. And so it'll just sound good, so we'll have better quality. I've chosen to use some royalty-free music. So that's kind of a behind-the-scenes radio slash podcast detail that most people don't care about. But you will notice the music is going to be slightly different. So it might be, you might be like, I've never heard that song before. Yeah, that's for a reason, because it is a copyright-free. It's made to be used for podcasts and commercials and things like that. And so there are all these great resources out there where you can find music like that. I've been using Pixabay actually to find some great stuff. Now, I did notice as I listened to music, just to go on this topic for just one more minute, I listened to probably 100 songs and about 50 of them sounded almost exactly the same. So as I find the best songs for the show, I'll try and update the what we call the palette, where all the songs are at, where the intros and outro music go. So with that, okay, I already put half the audience to sleep. Let's talk about one of my favorite segments historically, Stranger Than Fiction, because oftentimes truth is stranger than fiction. And I pull a lot of stories from a lot of different resources. If you ever have one, you can send one to me on Facebook Messenger. You can email me, jared.baldwin@hbcguam.net. If you ever have a story that you come across in the news and you'd like me to consider using it during the show, I'd love for you to send it to me. Send me a link. Again, jared.baldwin@hbcguam.net. And I will consider any story you send me. If it fits, I'll use it. So all of these, I believe, are from World Magazine. I love using World Magazine, their outtakes section, a quick takes section. It used to be called outtakes. Quick takes section of their magazine have a lot of these fun little stories, and here are a few samples. Let's see here. They don't work if they're on fire. That's the lesson from a fire from March 5th in a building that houses Friendly Extinguisher Sales and Service in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Although the business owner had plenty of fire extinguishers on hand, he could not prevent the blaze from spreading in the walls. Quote, he made a valiant effort, end quote, said Fire Chief Zane Poindexter. Thankfully, crews quickly contained the blaze. Noting the irony, Poindexter added, quote, accidents happen to everyone, end quote. So if you have a fire extinguisher store, it does not protect you from fires. The Burger King. More than 34,000 down, and Don Gorski shows no signs of slowing down. Now, I don't know what his cardiologist would say, but the Fond du Lac, Wisconsin 70-year-old walks 6 miles a day, and he still eats about 2 Big Macs a day. On February 29th, Guinness confirmed that Gorski had extended his world record of most Big Macs eaten in a lifetime to 34,128 after examining Gorski's saved receipts. The McDonald's fan said he started eating the calorie-laden sandwich in 1972. Hey, that was when I was born. Out of respect to my mother, from 1973 to 1981, I ate one non-Big Mac meal a day because she was worried about my health, he told the Guinness Book of World Records. When he hadn't died, Gorski upped his Big Mac intake. That's a funny way of doing it. He once ate a Whopper from Burger King in 1984, he said, but he hasn't been back since. That's a pretty good commercial for McDonald's right there. No more flying hot dogs. Philly fans are unruly? That's the opinion of the Philadelphia Phillies management, which announced February 29th that the ball club's popular April promotion featuring $1 hot dogs won't return this season. Officials said they're ending it to provide a positive experience for all fans. Philly's senior vice president, John Weber, admitted the dollar dogs had sparked some uncouth behavior. It wasn't just the throwing, he said. Some fans, of course, threw hot dogs all the way onto the field and at their other patrons. Plus, they clogged the concourses when they were trying to get their cheap franks, and the throwing of the hot dogs ended up becoming a little bit of the tipping point, according to management. That's kind of a scroogey, Ebenezer Scroogey way to handle it, I think, but I guess I understand. Here's another one. You might empathize with this a little bit. The part of the island that I live on, we have a neighborhood watch WhatsApp, and it is very active. There are people posting very helpful, secure information for our neighborhood all day long, every day. And someone posted a picture of what their cat had brung home, and this story makes me think of that. While officers of the New Orleans Police Department are out fighting crime, other staffers are back at the headquarters fighting grime. According to the high-ranking officials, the department's office buildings are a deteriorating mess. While requesting additional funding at a hearing in March, Police Superintendent Kirkpatrick testified that the building is crawling with cockroaches and rats. She said her officers have complained about finding rat droppings in their desks. This is terrible. According to the television station of that area, the headquarters elevators don't work and the air conditioners are on the fritz. Then there's the police evidence from the police evidence room that rats have invaded the evidence room and are taking certain liberties. It says that the rats are actually eating the confiscated cannabis in the evidence room. Let's see here. Let's do just a few more of these. How about this one? There will be no more dancing in Cambodia's streets after the nation announced a ban on musical vehicle horns March 18th. Let me just say, I haven't heard a musical vehicle horn in a while. Now, there is a new version of this. If you have any friends that drive Teslas, it's not just the horn. The whole car becomes an instrument. Have you ever seen this? Where there was a chiropractor in the area we lived in, Iowa, and he and his neighbor both got Teslas at the same time, and there was some kind of way to synchronize them, and they played music, and the gull wing doors flap up and down, and all the lights go on and off in sync with a song. So that's the new version. But musical car horns, you know, they play the Woody Woodpecker song, or, you know, Cotton Eye Joe or whatever it is as you walk by, La Cucaracha, whatever, and you'll hear someone play a horn. This used to be very popular when I was a teenager, kind of the end of the era. We bought a car. I think it was a Dodge Diplomat from the early 80s. And so it was a big beast of a car. And someone had put in there a digital horn music selector. And so there were like 30 different horn tunes that could be played as someone walked by unwittingly, usually with a mouthful of Slurpee. And then my mom or someone in the car, maybe me, would hit the button and it would not just honk at them, but it would play a song at them in car horn volume and sound. So, according to Prime Minister Hun Manet, the non-standard horns, which blare rhythmic tunes, pose a risk to safety and roadway efficiency because they could cause traffic jams and make people less aware of their surroundings. He announced the action after videos appeared on social media of young pedestrians dancing in roadways as tune-playing trucks drove by. So, there you go. Here's this also. I was thinking about Guam and some of the things that we have here when I read this story. Maybe you'll see what I mean. It's back to the drawing board for the Murrieta Police Department, which came up with a clever way to comply with the new California law, only to be ordered to cease and desist. Earlier this year, the department began posting on social media images of criminal suspects with their faces digitally replaced with Lego heads. That allowed police to shield identities of the accused in compliance with the law. But in March, the Lego group sent a letter asking police to stop using its products to represent suspects. Made me think of some of the billboards around here. Feline fiasco. This one kind of makes my skin crawl. And I hope I don't alienate our listening audience, but I'm not a big cat fan. I like dogs, okay? And cats, they have their purpose, but let's just say where I live, there are a lot of cats, a lot of stray cats, and it causes problems in my yard. And so cats just are not on my good list right now. So this story really made my skin kind of crawl. For Bruce Robinson, it all started when he took in his neighbor's pregnant cat in 2019. The rural British Columbia man lived alone, so he decided to keep the kittens for company. But then more and more people left the cats on his property. Unable to spay or neuter them all, he watched his feline population flourish. Last month, Robinson threw in the towel. He said, "I ended up in a crazy situation. I made a bad decision. I thought I could handle the cats." By the time he phoned the local SPCA for help, he was spending thousands of dollars a month on food and litter. Hopefully he was spending a lot on litter. That's my commentary. SPCA officials said he had, get this, 300 cats to put up for adoption. I mean, for some of you with allergies, you might have just coded on that one. I'm sorry. Two more, and then we'll take a short break and come back for some leadership talk. A Texas man, this would be great on Guam. This would be a wonderful, as we go into election season, this would be an awesome election season poster. A Texas man has a gimmick ready to go for 2024 presidential election. The 35-year-old teacher from North Richland Hills legally changed his first, middle, and last name to, get this, his first name, literally, middle name, anybody, and his last name, else. So he changed his name legally to literally anybody else in hopes of appearing on Texas general election ballot for president. In March, news reports spotted him soliciting signatures before a Dallas Stars hockey game. That's because, according to the state law, he'll need to amass signatures of at least 113,151 non-primary voters prior to May 13th. That's a lot. That's probably an impossible number. The Federal Election Commission struck another blow against the campaign in March, warning Mr. Else that he hadn't filled out his federal election paperwork correctly. So literally anybody else might not become president, but literally anybody else might get a lot of votes. And literally anybody else is hoping that even if he doesn't do his paperwork correctly, he'll be able to tell everyone that literally anybody else was voted for by many Texans. Finally, an Ohio father complained his way into an arrest warrant after he repeatedly harassed local school officials for giving his son too much homework. To step aside from the story for a second, our population here is probably pretty divided. Like our listening audience, some wish their kids had more homework. Some wish their kids had less homework. So you might agree with this Ohio father. Police in Oxford, Ohio said 37-year-old Adam Sizemore began making abusive and profanity-laced phone calls, that's not good, to the staff at Kramer Elementary School on February 29th. The phone calls didn't stop, even after school officials told him not to call back. When school officials began hanging up on Sizemore, the irate father called and harangued the police. Authorities later arrested Sizemore for 3 misdemeanor counts of harassment and menacing, and a judge scheduled the man's arraignment for March 28th. So, he's already been arraigned. I wonder what happened with that. But I'll tell you what, sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. And those stories, you can find those, most of those in World Magazine in their outtakes section. And we're going to take a short break. This is Live Till 5. I'm your host, Jared Baldwin. When I come back, I want to continue the topic of leadership and the basis of power for leadership. More Live Till 5 after this short break. Back with a little more Live Till 5. I'm your host, Jared Baldwin. Glad to have you with us today. This is an awesome opportunity to be on the air. After 5 years of being away from not just Live Till 5, but having moved away and coming back, it's really a very surreal experience. I've had a lot of people ask me, what was it like to get back not only to Guam, but onto campus and serving here as executive pastor at Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Ministries, and then now to be able to have Live Till 5 is such a huge blessing. Really enjoying all of it. It's not all easy. Some is hard. Some things have changed. Some familiar faces have moved on. Some new people are here, but the team here is a lot of fun to work with, solid, and really am enjoying working for the church and the school and Pastor Gary, and just trying to soak it all up and enjoy it. Not without its difficulties, but it has been just great. And I wanted to talk briefly about where we were, and then I want to talk a little bit about leadership. So 5 years ago, we had accepted a position at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa, for me to become the chair, program chair, of a new major that I helped create, by God's grace, got to help build it and decide what programs to carry and what curriculum to have and every bit of it. I got to design 100% of the program. It was so awesome. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, really. Most people never get to do that in education. And ironically, I'm not even really an educator, but I got to be the program chair for organizational leadership bachelor's degree at Faith. And I got to teach, I got to be student advisor. I got to design the program. I got to do all the parts I don't really enjoy, like learning objectives and syllabi and curriculum development and all that. And the parts I really do enjoy, student mentoring and engagement and sharing practical truth and bringing in experts to talk about their fields and getting students paired up with mentors in the community and networking in the community and trying to help build the bridge of relationship between the college and the community. And so with that, it was just such a privilege and we enjoyed that. And then the Lord opened the door for us to come back here this year. And through much prayer, as if you got to hear my wife and my testimony on Harvest Time on April 5th, the April 5th edition of Harvest Time, we got to talk a little bit about that process. So I won't go back into that, but the Lord has brought us back to Guam for this season. This is really our third season. So we had lived here from 2002 to 2009. as a young married couple with three little kids. They were 6, 4, and 2 when we arrived, or 7, 4, and 2 when we arrived, and came and was part of Harvest our very first year. We had a lot of challenges, including Super Typhoon Pong Songhua, our son Andrew being very ill, just a lot of difficulties. This is our first ministry. I'd been in the Air Force. Then I went to college. Then I went to seminary. While I was in seminary and college, I worked in public relations and sales, and so got a lot of experience there in business, and then came here and became part of the ministry. Started out doing things like children's ministry and just helping with projects and doing a little teaching and counseling and preaching like all pastors do. And we were here for 7 years, and then we moved away for 2 to New Hampshire. I was a senior pastor for a year and an assistant pastor for a year. And then we came back for 8 more years, came back as associate pastor and then eventually executive pastor. And during that time, got to really grow in opportunities, and the Lord gave me some new stretching experiences that helped me with some skill development in leadership. And eventually I pursued a master's degree in organizational leadership. And through that, the college faith in Ankeny, Iowa, learned of that. We're really good friends with a lot of people there. And so we were able to, they contacted and asked if I'd be willing to come and help start this program. It's a new bachelor's program, like a business management degree, but because they're a Bible college, to start a business program would be very difficult. It'd be like starting a whole nother college. But to add a major that basically is the same as a business management degree, but catered to fit the mission of Faith Baptist Bible College, it was a lot easier. And so they asked if I could do it. They needed a faculty member that had at least a master's in organizational leadership. And so we felt like that was the Lord calling us there, and we went, and we enjoyed Iowa a lot. A lot of our family moved there while we were there. And then when the Lord opened the door for us to come back, it really was a challenging decision, but we did take the opportunity and came back and just moved back a few months ago. And so we knew that coming back was not just starting new thing or restarting the same things we did before. But Live Till 5 was one of those things that in the back of my mind, I was like, huh, I wonder if I'll ever get a chance to do something like that again. I've always enjoyed it. I like being part of the radio station. I was the interim radio station manager the year before Chris Harper came. And so got really to fall in love with what we do here in the radio station. I see it as a very valuable, powerful tool for us ministry-wide. So as I looked at and I talked to Chris and Pastor Gary about starting Live Till 5 again, things that stood out to me that I wanted to do different. So I didn't, there are some things that are common that I wanted to do again, but there were some things I wanted to do new. One was to have a weekly emphasis on foster care. And our plan is to do that every single week, have some kind of discussion about foster care to keep it in front of people. The other is to at least every week talk a little bit about leadership. Now that'll be in a couple different forms. One is through interesting interviews. Anytime I can talk about leadership with an interesting interview, I will. And we're going to turn that into a short podcast. And then just to do some education on leadership. A lot of people find themselves in leadership roles, but they don't actually know much about leadership. Like they just kind of act naturally. And thankfully, with good character, hard work ethic, good people skills, you know, you can do a lot as a leader. But if you just have a little bit more understanding, just like any other skill, any other thing that you need to develop, you'll be much, much more effective. Leadership is something that with a little bit of intentionality, you can really get a lot more out of your own leadership. So with that, I wanted to make sure I take weekly just a little bit of time to talk about leadership. And one of my favorite topics came from back when I was working on my master's degree years ago in leadership. I read in one of the books, this is referenced throughout all kinds of leadership books and talks and things like that. But the first time I read it, it was like light bulbs going on. And it was a study done in the 1950s by these guys named John French and Bertram Raven, 1959. They put together a study And at the time, they called it the five bases of power. Later on, they added another base. So it's really six bases of power. And specifically talking about leadership. Now, when you ask people to define leadership, a lot of people will talk about the tasks. Some will talk about the character. Some talk about the roles or the jobs. Some talk about kind of a dictionary definition. But leadership is so broad a topic and has so many facets that all those things can describe leadership, and you still might not have all of it, you know, encapsulated. But if you were to boil it down to some of its most essential parts, at least one of those essential parts would be influence. So leadership is influence, and it's specifically influence on people to do things, to get them to take action, to get them to think, to get them to move. And influence, really, if you were to boil that down, is power. Now, you know, this power can be abused, this can be the wrong focus, this can be, you know, misunderstood. But influence is power, and it's just in the most technical sense. If you think about it, if you have a coffee mug sitting on the table, and you need to slide that coffee mug from one side of the table to the other, you take your hand and you exert pressure using your muscles to engage your arm to push that mug, and you're exerting pressure. You're influencing that mug to move across the table. You're using the power of your arm to move that mug. And so influence is power in this illustration. And so when Raven French did this study about the bases of power, they really were just identifying things that are kind of obvious observations if you really just stop and think about it. And last week I mentioned the first of these bases of power. One is legitimate, and that's the belief that someone has a formal right to lead. So because of their position or their title, because of their badge or the plaque on their door or the little desk sign, or maybe the title under their name on their business card, that they have a legitimate right to lead. And this is in the military. You could have a 22-year-old lieutenant, and you could have a 36-year-old senior master sergeant in the Air Force, and the senior master sergeant is every time going to salute the lieutenant. And if the lieutenant is in the area of responsibility over that senior master sergeant, the lieutenant says, do something. The senior master sergeant, even though he's old enough to be his father, even though he's been doing the job longer than the lieutenant's been out of diapers, because the lieutenant is the lieutenant and has those little bars on his collar or his sleeve or his epaulette, the senior master sergeant has to do it. Legitimate power. Now, it is a type of power and influence. It's important. It's necessary in some situations, but it's not a very strong, long-lasting form of leadership, because as soon as the scenario changes, the leader does not have power anymore. And so you can be the captain of a soccer team, and on the field, because you're the captain and you have that little sleeve on your arm, you can tell a fellow player something to do. As soon as you leave the field and take that little thing off your arm, you're just, you know, a regular guy or girl. You don't have any influence anymore. So legitimate power. Here's the second one I wanted to talk about in this last couple minutes of the show. Reward power. Reward power is specifically referring to the ability of someone to give rewards or benefits to a person that they're leading. So this is a form of power, a form of influence. So when I was a kid, my parents became Christians when I was in third grade. I became a Christian in third grade. We started going to church regularly. And after church, maybe you've experienced this, there was what I would call a little old lady. Now she's probably younger than I am now. But at the time, she seemed like a little old lady. Had a purse. In her purse, she had Werther's butterscotch or caramel candy. And to my memory, at least for this illustration, that lady was not really leading me. Like if she told me to do something, I probably would not have paid attention as a child. She wasn't my boss. She wasn't my grandmother, my mother. She wasn't my teacher. She was just a lady. But because I knew that she had candy in her purse, I'd go up and talk to her. And if she said, Jared, would you carry this book out to my car for me? I'd be like, sure. Because I knew that she could reward me. And so I would do what she said. She could influence me because of the reward I could get. And so this is a form of leadership, influence, or power. It's a base of power, the ability to give reward. You can compensate someone for the, for their compliance. That's how Raven and French would say it. And so this also, this is a very positional type of leadership, because as soon as the reward is gone, the leadership is gone. So as soon as you come across a situation where the person doesn't value the reward, they don't need the reward, or they don't want the reward, you are no longer leading them, right? In a clinical situation here, as we talk about this illustration. So last week, you talked about legitimate power. Someone is the leader. That's their title. So therefore, you do what they say when they're in that situation. It's kind of a weak form of leadership, because as soon as that's over, you're not going to follow them. This week, talking about reward power, where someone can give you something good, and because they can, you will follow them, they will influence you, they will be able to tell you what to do, and you'll do it. So that's a second form, a positional form, just like legitimate, because of the position the person's in, that affects your ability to be influenced by them. So we're going to talk about the rest of those bases of power over the next few weeks, but I just think it's very interesting. These, again, these are not bad. It's just, if it's all you rely on as a leader, you're going to be on a little bit of a shaky ground, because as these things disappear, your leadership kind of fades. And so we'll eventually get to the most powerful type of leadership that they identified, and we'll talk about that in kind of a servant leadership context. But that's all we got time for today when we're talking about leadership, at least. And so this has really been a blast. I remember saying this probably 310 times before, and I'm going to start saying it again. This is really the fastest 2 hours of my week, coming up here and talking about leadership, getting to visit with some of these wonderful people that we have up here in the radio station, getting to talk about important things like foster care in our community, like volunteering in ministry, like elevating things like our friends at in different areas, like this counseling conference or faith bookstore, or being able to just laugh and have fun, like What's in My Coffee, Stranger Than Fiction, This Day in History. And you, the listener, I really appreciate you. I do this because I hope it's a blessing to you. I hope we made you smile today. You are listening to Live Till 5 here on KHMG 88.1 FM, Harvest Family Radio. My name's Jared Baldwin. Have a great weekend.